hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is In the News.
Hello and welcome to In the News. And we have again in studio, Father Bill Weary.
Hi, everybody out there. So nice to be with you.
We're still in the wonderful season of Easter, but there's some sad things that happened. Father and I was talking about that, you know, the Easter attacks on churches in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And Father, you were bringing a point up about something that you saw, the Pew Research Center. What was that?
Which is not faith-based, I don't believe.
I don't think.
No, it's but came out with a study saying Christians are the most persecuted group in the world.
And yet, we don't hear about it from our media.
No.
You'll hear about this group, that group. But whenever it's Christians being persecuted, mm-hmm. there's a silence about it. They were just saying that, it's the Easter worshipers. And I thought, why can't they say the word Christian? And this was like Hillary Clinton, Barack
Obama. Somebody pointed that out.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Easter worshipers.
Easter worshipers. They didn't use the word Christ or Christian.
And it was all Christians.
No orientation toward the importance of our faith.
Mm-hmm. And how many people... here's the other thing I say, Father. You think you're going to get rid of Christianity?
Forget it.
By killing people. This is the blood of the martyrs. That's
precisely
the seeds of the church.
Yes. And Benedict XVI, we talked about that before, his recent document that came out out of retirement in a way, talked about martyrdom.
Yeah.
And getting back to a concept of martyrdom in the document he published just a couple weeks ago on the sexual abuse crisis. And he said, you know, one of the problems is we eliminated the sense of sacrifice from much of our Christianity.
Yeah.
And the importance of offering things up and offering ourselves up, you know, even if it's painful to God, all the way to martyrdom, giving up our lives, which many Christians are doing now.
You know, I read something interesting today because today's the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker.
Yes, it is.
And what was being said is that, you know, Joseph, it seems to me, and may probably to you too, that God gave him part of his heart to be Christ's father on earth. It just, you know what I'm saying? But you know, with Christ came the cross, even from the very beginning. Because if you think about it, Joseph and Mary, who were in a home, when he was born, their home was a manger. I mean, they became more poor, if that's possible, leaving to go to Egypt. He was a simple carpenter. And so wherever Christ went, it was the cross.
Absolutely.
But Joseph did not complain about it.
Right.
Because he was Jesus' foster father. He wanted to be with him. And so the cross for priests, for lay people, for married couples is absolutely part of our walk.
It is.
We better all get it. I wish I was better catechized on that, because I was, you know, sort of, you know, when I first got married, probably like a lot of young people when they're young.
Hearts and flowers.
This is great.
Yeah,
this is all great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great every day.
Honestly. Yeah. But the cross is so essential. And St. Paul, of course, I preach Christ and him crucified, Paul said. And he was in your face with the cross, St. Paul was, at a time when I'm sure it was back in the first century, it was very embarrassing because crucifixions were still going on. And I've referred to that etching. It's still ridiculous to us today, this idea of sacrifice in many ways, especially in the developed world. But there's that etching in the catacombs. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
You can still see it today from the first century of a man worshiping a figure on a cross with
really?
A donkey head.
What's
with
the
head of an ass. That Christianity is ridiculous because they worship a crucified God. It was a graffiti. On a wall.
Yeah, because that was it was humiliating.
It was humiliating, that's right. And as a matter of fact, you know, it is true, got to tell you, that the cross was not a prominent symbol for the first 300 years mm-hmm. in Christian art. They didn't utilize that a lot. It was resurrection, or it was the Good Shepherd, or the fish was a very big symbol also. They didn't, despite the New Testament's emphasis on the cross and Paul's emphasis in his letters, subsequent Christianity, at least in its iconography, did not really emphasize the cross a lot. It was still a little bit of an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Constantine in the 4th century that he banned crucifixion.
You know, Father, speaking of the cross, that's one of the things that kind of bugs me about some of the churches, more modern churches that we see today, is it's not Jesus crucified on the cross. It's kind of a quasi cross of him ascending.
Well, it's the resurrected was a very fashionable.
Where did that come from?
Because you're so right. The '60s, the '70s, and the '80s, that's what he's talking about, and that corresponded with so many other things that contributed in large part could contribute to the sexual abuse
about it. Jesus
crisis.
All buff, you know, all cleaned up,
The resurrected, it was the resurrected Jesus Christ that was very popular. We're getting back to it now. Mm-hmm.
My daughter's church, they just replaced it with a real crucifix.
A real crucifix.
Yeah, with the Jesus suffering on the cross.
A realistic, not a cartoon
caricature. I'm really happy
caricature,
about that. Yeah.
But, really in your face. And I know in Europe, customarily, that you've had the very bloody crucifixes in Mexico as well. In the past.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And Christ, another one that's very popular in some countries is Christ in the tomb, a bloody Christ lying in the tomb. And I've seen those around. But it reminds us that suffering is part of life and that Christ came not to take it away, but to join us in suffering.
Yes.
And there can be at times with some of the motivational speakers and some of the preachers, the prosperity gospel. I don't know how prominent that is in the Catholic Church, but some of the other denominations that God wants to take away your suffering.
Yeah.
And not necessarily so.
You know, I just want to throw this out at you, too, because you were speaking about the Pew Institute and what they were talking about in terms of Christians being the most persecuted religious people in the world. Right now, the low-end estimate for the number of new Christian martyrs every year is around 8,000.
Wow.
While the high-end runs to 100,000.
Wow.
That works out to either one new martyr every hour or every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, a human rights scourge of astonishing proportions.
Yes. And in the Middle East, of course, this is where a lot of that is taking place. Knights of Columbus have done a magnificent job in addressing that, bringing that to people's attention. Other groups like the Knights of Malta and all that. I know Knights of Columbus are doing construction projects in the Middle East and aiding for the reconstruction of churches and also housing for people who have lost their housing, trying to keep Christians.
Mm-hmm.
In the cradle land of Christianity, because they're leaving.
I'm ready to jump to another story.
Sure.
That's okay. You know, we have to watch what goes on in other countries of the Western world, right? And I'm thinking specifically now about Britain. A couple things. One is, there's a lot going on in their schools. This is from Crisis Magazine. Mm-hmm. Sexual brainwashing of Britain. Since 2014, which is when they approved of same-sex marriage,
mm-hmm.
more and more LGBT sex education has been pushed in the schools, right? No shock there. And now, hundreds of parents, mostly Muslims, interestingly, are taking their kids out of schools because some of these schools are saying you can't opt out of these classes on relationships and so forth. In fact, there's one school in Manchester in England that is having their 6-year-olds writing gay love letters. And here's something that's, again, back in 2010, there were 50 referrals in England for children for gender reassignment therapy. Okay. In 2018, 8 years later, it rose to 2,519. That's a 4,000% increase. So what is going on here? Are we, when I think what's happening in these schools, inducing confusion in children?
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you do if you're a parent?
You've got to pull them out.
You just got to pull them out. Catholic school, evangelical Protestant school, Mennonite school, something. Or homeschooling.
While you can.
Benedict XVI talked about this all the way back in the 80s. And he says that in the school districts, in Germany, the then Minister of Health had a film made in which everything that had previously not been allowed to be shown publicly, was including sexual intercourse, was now shown in the for the purpose of education. And then there was a sex coffer published by the Austrian government back in the 80s, a controversial suitcase of sexual education materials used in Austrian schools. Sexual and pornographic movies then became, I don't know if it was LGBT, probably not back then, but sexual and pornographic movies then became a common occurrence to the point that they were screened at newsreel theaters. And so this was in the educational system in Germany all the way back then, and it's happening now.
Well, you know, it says our Holy Father, well, Pope Emeritus Benedict, I should be clear, said in his letter, he notes that how seminaries would actively recruit suitable men and discourage those whose vocational understanding was insufficiently friendly to the Lavender clubs, okay? Lavender was my word. In a humorous aside, he notes not a few students caught reading my books were considered unsuitable for the priesthood.
In brown paper bags.
My books were hidden away like bad literature and only read under the desk. But by the late 1980s, the homosexual hierarchies that rule were now descending with greater frequency into pedophilia. I mean, he's laying it on the line here.
Yes. Well, he says that pedophilia in some of these sexual movements of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, pedophilia was spoken of with admiration. And it was, you know, it was okay. So that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. And you know what, Father? We've talked about this before, because pornography is progressive. Now, you don't know whether you're somebody who's going to go act out on it and to what level you will. Is everybody going to turn into a Ted Bundy? We wouldn't say that.
No.
But it's progressive. And it's progressive, and people that may start out with heterosexual pornography can move into the realm of pedophilia. And so
I'm just amazed how, you know, in my years, how volatile the sexual dynamic within the human person is. I didn't think so. I mean, when I was growing up, I thought, you know, I was certainly aware, you know, sexual desires, people had them, and I had them. But I just never dreamed of this kind of dynamic in the person, but it's there.
Well,
I mean,
and birth control really has opened the floodgates there, because the pressure I can speak back and for myself was, well, now this is available and you can love, quote unquote, whoever you want, and you shouldn't have to be tied down to one husband and so forth. Father, I hate to say, but we're going to have to take a break already. It goes by so fast. But we'll be back in just a minute with Father Bill Weary on In the News.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts, whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720WHYF.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720WHYF.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air, and may God bless you.
We're back with our final segment with Father Bill Weary on In the News on AM 720 Radio. Father, this was interesting to me. It was Notre Dame president rejected what the students there had signed for. I think there were 10,000 signatures. The kids wanted a ban to block pornography on the Wi-Fi network at the university. And the faculty and staff at Notre Dame, they said no. The president, Reverend John Jenkins, said, although we do not believe a mandatory filter is the best solution for us, we are taking steps to encourage students and others to adopt filters voluntarily.
Right. It's thing of First Amendment rights on steroids, and it's censorship and not wanting to carry out censorship. I'm glad that some of the students were calling for this. I mean, that's
isn't that encouraging?
That is.
And then you go to the administration, they say, well,
yeah,
we don't think we want to do that. In fact, the kids were doing the same thing at Georgetown University.
See.
Now, they said they will consider a future ban.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, that was just the student government group said they'd consider a future ban. But this movement is coming from the kids.
Well, that's interesting.
You and I were talking before about something in the opposite direction.
Yeah, there was
happening.
Something else that happened with a mother issuing a plea. I think it was to the University of Notre Dame, to the to the females to not wear spandex on campus.
They're like yoga pants.
They're like yoga, but very tight.
Very tight.
Very, 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 very tight.
Thin.
And
you know?
She was saying, I guess she did it on social media, issued some sort of a request. She said, and her rationale was, I'm trying to raise a son, a college-age son, and trying to inculcate the virtue of chastity within him. Mm-hmm. And I'm on campus, and I'm looking at all this and these really tight clothes. And I would ask the girls just not to do that. Mm-hmm. And there was a big reaction against her. There was a call for a spandex day in contradiction to her concerns, and whereby everybody, I guess, would wear spandex and pose on social media in photos in spandex, and we'll show her, and we're going to do whatever we want to do, and we're going to wear whatever we want to wear, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. And I remember reading a blog by Father Thomas Loya, and he is a priest from Illinois, a Byzantine priest. He's on speaking circuit. And
isn't he the Salt and Light program?
I don't believe so. I've seen him speak before. He's a mm-hmm. pastor.
Yeah, okay.
But he gets around a little bit. And he wrote something about that whole thing and sort of stuck up for the mother and made the point that this attitude, you hear it a lot, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, no matter how it affects you, because I want to do it. He said it correctly. That's not the Christian viewpoint.
Yeah.
You know, University of Notre Dame is a Catholic Christian campus, and the kids presumably, you know, should be adopting those values of let's help one another to be good.
You know, this is even more shocking to me, and I can see where it can happen. There are some schools that are sending home dress codes for parents.
Oh, my.
Because they're coming to school to pick up their
really?
Kids. One woman, they said, came in a negligee.
Oh, my.
Use your imagination.
Yeah.
Dressed completely inappropriately. And I just think to myself, whoa, you know, you can put a uniform on a kid, but you can get a parent to show up to pick up a child who's just way over the top. But, you know, Father, what's difficult is, I mean, I just remember traveling somewhere with my husband and watching the local news. And the girl that was doing the news had was very well endowed, let's put it that way, and didn't hide it. Wow. It's mm-hmm. This is where we are. Like, I can't listen to what you're saying because...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are you presenting?
Some females say, you know, that's his problem. If he's, you know, if your son, I guess they would say, speaking in their voice, your son has a problem controlling his thoughts and feelings. That is not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
As a girl, that is his problem. But again, you know, the idea of chastity, helping one another to be chaste. I'm smiling because I remember it must have been 20 years ago. I was a younger pastor, and I was at some sort of pool party and with teenage girls there. But the mother mentioned to me later, she noticed her girls covering up more in my presence.
Oh, good. Well.
And she noted that
mm-hmm.
That they put on whatever robes or something like that
mm-hmm.
at the poolside, and she affirmed that, and she said she was kind of tickled that the girls had that kind of, and she said, Father, don't you think that's good that they had that kind of sensitivity of you
mm-hmm.
of being there, and it was.
But you know,
good.
This also goes back to this idea that we're living in these days that there's no difference between males and females. We're all the same. We should be in transgendered bathrooms.
Yeah.
Men and women are different. Men are very visual. Their sexuality is very tied into their visual. Women are different. We are much more emotional, mental, relational. Let me put it that way.
Yes.
Okay? Very different in that regards. I mean, it's not to disparage one or the other. We're different.
We are different.
Difference.
Somebody who's saying that right now is Bill Donahue. I just heard a great, right on this radio station, coming in today. Great interview.
Crest in the afternoon. Yeah, I was listening.
Teresa Tomeo.
Ahead. All right.
Interviewing him regarding his book with a lot of the same concepts. Mm-hmm. Common Sense Catholicism.
Yeah.
He's been quiet. He used to get the newsletter.
He's been quiet.
But boy, he was not quiet in this interview. He was fabulous. And one of the things he talked about was the common sense differences between men and women, for things that are politically incorrect to say, but they're nevertheless true. Like, for instance, women, especially with young children, women are best. Young children relate to the woman, to the mother, mm-hmm. more mm-hmm. than to the father.
When they're infants.
When they're infants mm-hmm. and toddlers and all that, yeah. because the women gave birth to them.
Right.
They came out, and it's just, there's that connection, that bond there.
And we're nurturers.
We are nurturers. Yes, absolutely.
But we're complementary. It's that wonderful essay that C.S. Lewis wrote, that mm-hmm. that we're not equal, we're complementary.
That's
correct.
You know
what I mean? In other words, he said, if you and your spouse are not good dance partners, the answer isn't to take your husband out and put another woman in.
You know,
so there's two women. No, it's to get dance lessons. You know what I mean? The complementarity is a beautiful thing, and it really is a dance.
And it might be a generalization, but the mother has to give the father a little bit of slack when he gets tough, a little bit tough with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the mothers, don't like that, and they think, they're critical of the fathers and the husbands.
And they throw them up in the air, and you think,
stuff like that. Rough housing, but also disciplining
mm-hmm.
and all that. Now, anything can go too far.
Right.
But that's the gift of the male, of the father, that he's that way. He and as a priest, sometimes I feel that way.
Father, this just came into my head, and I hope it's all right to bring this up, because I don't think it's too late for people to still get out and see Unplanned.
My word.
I know the last time you and I were together, you saw it and I hadn't. I have since gone to see it.
Did you know? You do know she's Catholic, right?
Yes, I do know.
She converted about 6 years ago. And
yes.
Do you know what one of the factors?
This is Abby Johnson. Who
correct,
was the,
Abby Johnson.
She was the, she ran the abortion clinic, yeah. and she was very pro-abortion.
Very much.
Even though she didn't come from that background.
Well, wait till you hear what I just read.
What?
Guess what she was doing for years when she was running the abortion clinic, picking up miraculous medals from the garden bed and the lawn that people would leave there. And she says, I don't know why, but I saved them.
She didn't throw them out.
And I had a whole bowl of them. It was in the movie briefly when she's grabbing stuff from the office.
I remember seeing
that. Well, she's fired.
All right.
Or she's leaving.
She's leaving.
And she put in the cardboard box, she's putting stuff. One of them, and that's really true, really happened. It was the bowl of miraculous medals that she took with her, and she didn't know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were the strangest thing, and she considers that one of the factors that got her into the Catholic Church. And now, when she goes to do protests at clinics, she leaves a miraculous medal or two on the lawn.
It's a very powerful movie. I really believe that parents with young teens should take them to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say there is some graphic stuff.
A little bit disturbing.
That can be very disturbing. But I'll tell you what, you take your kid in to see that movie, I don't think your child could have an abortion or be part of it. I know that's kind of bold, but I know that since that movie has come out, a lot of clinic workers are leaving abortion clinics.
Abby Johnson has a ministry now to abortion clinic work.
She's getting thousands. Yeah.
I don't know how many. It's in the thousands of who have left through her ministry and for her teaching and talking to them.
And if you have even, let's say, somebody a little young for this movie, I stumbled on a movie that can be found on YouTube. and it's called Crescendo.
I've heard about it.
It's a 15-minute long movie. It does have foreign subtitles. It's very well done. And it's something that you could really celebrate. It's a pro-life story, but you're not going to get the graphics like you would in Unplanned. But, you know, I think to myself, boy, show that movie, you know, even in our area here at Trinity
in Trinity High School, our alma mater, that'd be great. One of the lessons here is the power of prayer. And you know, everybody would agree with that who's pro-life. And we, I kind of want to say we, God, and all of us, yourself included, helped to shut down Hillcrest Clinic, Front Street of Harrisburg. That is a miracle, along with the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. But I remember being out there in the front.
Oh, yeah, Father.
In the front with the...
We used to have breakfast there afterwards.
We did. Do you remember? I have such fond memories of that.
Oh,
you were in the back alley, weren't you?
You
were the counselors.
Yeah.
One of the... Oh, man. That was real. That's really tough work. And, oh, some of your descriptions of that doctors, like you said, it was like the coyote and the sheepdog you know, out of the Warner Brothers movie, that he was just, you're punching the clock. I remember you made that analogy once to a Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers cartoon.
And, you know, and our hearts can be hardened to that extent.
But you had this talking relationship with that doctor.
I did. I used to talk to him. I'd say, you know, his name was Earl. I can't even think of his last name now, but I'd say, Earl, you know.
How can you do this, Earl?
Your profession is so important. It's so life-giving. How do you reconcile that, you know? But I'll tell you
what. He say?
Just these mental lapses and saying, you know, people and leaves and trees are all the same. I'm helping these women, and the mantra that, you know, over and over again. And, you know, that's how he made his money. In my opinion, he was probably not a very good doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easier for him to come in and do that and not be bothered in the middle of the night, where you can just schedule abortions on Fridays and Saturdays.
Patient is hemorrhaging at home.
Yeah, very hard-hearted. Father, we're out of time, but I do appreciate
you being
here. I love to be with you, and we invite all of our listeners to join us every Thursday at noon on 720 WHYF AM on your radio dial.
Until next time.